Let's talk about how courses have been changing in 2024 and what you can do about it. Oh, welcome back, my Do the Brave Thing online business podcast, Home Slices, Kate Doster of katedoster.com. And I am so unbelievably excited to talk to Christina today all about courses because she helps people really sort of take their knowledge and put it into a package that people absolutely love buying. And so she is really up on the trends and the changes that have been happening in the course industry in 2024. She's also one of our VIP contributors in the Back to Business Bundle. So if you guys were lucky to get in on that, you definitely have, I mean, we heard raving things about the Kajabi templates. People have just absolutely been loving everything that you are producing. So in case if you guys have not met her before, I'm going to go ahead and read the bio. So Christina Riviera is a launch and Kajabi expert that is dedicated to helping coaches and consultants free up their time, magnify their impact, and create a scalable revenue through online courses. All amazing things. As a former meditation instructor, Christina has a mission to help her clients grow their business with as little stress and as little hustle as possible, which I know some of us are addicted to chaos energy. So I definitely think that you guys are going to appreciate Christina's calm manner, especially with all my, I think you guys are really going to like the contrast between the two of us. Her signature coach to course creator accelerator focuses on how to create, market, and sell a course that adds at least guys, $5,000 per month in automated revenue to your bottom line each month. So you can step off the trading time for money hamster wheel and scale your business in a more sustainable way. So Christina, thank you so much for being on the show and for being an amazing contributor in the Back to Business Bundle. Like I said, people loved your stuff, which was not too shocking at all. But is there anything else that you would like our audience to know? Oh, and what are your pronouns?
My pronouns are she and her. And in terms of like what I would like people to know, I guess it's just like, as you read in my intro, like I have been through quite a journey going from like a meditation instructor to like a Kajabi course specialist. So like, if there's anyone out there who's kind of like thinking like, I'm not quite clear on like what I want to do. And like, is this going to work? Like, I would just like, you know, I really feel like I'm a testimony to like, just stick with it and you will find your path.
I absolutely love that. So before we go ahead and you dive into the trends that you're seeing in 2024 for what really makes a sellable course, what consumer buying behavior has changed to you, if you feel that it has or not, I would love to know, since you have been at this for such a long time, and again, going from a meditation instructor to somebody who now specializes in Kajabi and also course creation and launching does seem like a little bit of a far, far leap. Can you think of a time at any point in your business, whether it's this iteration or other businesses that you've had in the past, where you really had to be like, all right, I am going to do the brave thing?
Yeah. I think like part of being brave in business comes from letting go. And it's like, it's kind of interesting that because like in meditation, like part of what is taught in meditation is kind of like letting go of things that are not serving you, you know? And it's the same, that's true in business. Like sometimes like you're trying to do like all the things and you feel like you should be doing this, this, and this. And I have found that sometimes I've made the most progress when I've released things. So for example, there was a time earlier in my business where I was starting to do like tech, like the tech stuff, but I was also still doing like the health coaching and the meditation coaching. I was like trying to do basically two totally different businesses. And I felt like I was spreading myself thin and not giving either one my full attention. So I had to like let go of like the health coaching piece of art in order to like fully like focus and embrace like the other stuff I was doing. And then like that has happened like over and over again in my business where like at one time I was trying to sell like five or six different offers. And I felt like, again, like I'm juggling too much and like I'm going to drop one of these balls that I'm juggling, you know? So like I had to like let go of like some of my offers. And like doing that, like letting go of things in your business, I think is not easy. Like it kind of requires like having like confidence in yourself that like you can move forward and do better with less. So that's how I would answer that.
I love that. Now, was it really hard, I'm guessing, to choose this sort of like tech business versus that sort of more spiritual health and wellness thing? Because I know that when a lot of people go into that, it's because they went on their own journey and they can either feel like guilty or just sad because, you know, that was sort of their first love. So what were some of your emotions kind of going in that when you're like, oh, I really am just going to pivot, but like, oh man.
Yeah, it was so hard. And like, you know, I'm the kind of person who like agonizes, like, you know, I'm up at night in the middle of the night, like, what should I do? You know, but I feel like what really helped me is at the time I was working with a coach and she said, pick one and give it a year. And like, after a year goes by, if you're like, you know, like, you know, kind of maybe I shouldn't have done this or whatever, like, she's like, you can always like go back to the old thing. And I was like, okay, like that made me feel a little bit better. Like, I'm just like, I have this like finite time period where I'm gonna like focus on this new thing and then I can reevaluate. And like that made the decision easier for me. But it was difficult to let it go because I'm like equally passionate about both things, like the health and wellness and like the business tech stuff. But like, again, I think like with solopreneurs, we tend to like pile so much on our plates, you know, and I just, it wasn't working to try to do both. So I knew both for like my own well-being and for my business, like it was just important for me to focus on one of the two.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that because I know that a lot of people are scared to pivot or to let go of either products or offers or just directions. And I love the really practical advice that your coach gave and that you let everyone else in this audience know, like give yourself a timeline, but notice how it wasn't just like 30 days, y'all. Like it was a full year for her to go in and go all in on this one direction. So I know a lot of people in 2024 have been interested in courses, but they can feel that sort of wave and maybe their own buying patterns have changed. Maybe they're coming new into this industry and they're worried that things are going to be oversaturated. So when it's coming to course creation, what have you seen? Maybe like the top three, which I know is hard because you see a lot of it because this is what you do every day. What are some of the biggest changes that you've started to see in 2024 in regards to courses that are selling well, if that makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, that's what we want to focus on. Like what, at the end of the day, like what works, what moves the needle. So I would say like my favorite thing is that I feel like the lines between coaching and communities and courses are all being blurred and we're seeing like more hybrid kind of offers or at least options. So it used to be for a long time with courses that, you know, it was like this totally DIY hands-off thing where somebody enrolled in the course and they got access to the videos and they kind of just like went through them like completely on their own. And I think that ever since the pandemic, people just more and more are craving connection and community with one another. And, you know, like, because especially like if you're a business owner, right, you're sitting alone at home working all the time. And you just like can benefit in so many ways from having like a community of people to go through something with you. So I think like the courses that are selling well are ones that have at least the option to add on some kind of like community or coaching. So, you know, you can still sell like a completely DIY course, but you can also offer people, if you're a course creator, you can offer people an option of having like some element of community and you can decide what that looks like. Like it could be a Facebook group. It could be a Voxer, like, you know, a Voxer thing. It could be a Slack channel. It could be Zoom calls. You know, so you decide like what would be best for you and your audience. But I think if you give people the option, not only to get access to you as the course creator for support and feedback, but also to connect with one another, like other people who are going through the course who are kind of facing the same challenges and they have like similar questions. Like, you know, there's like, I think there's like, you know, that saying a rising tide lifts all boats. Like, you know, it's nice to have like other people to support one another, like going through the course. So that's one of the things I think to think about, like if you're thinking of going into course creation this year, is like maybe giving people that option of like some kind of community and coaching. The other thing that I I think, I mean, this has like always been true, but I think it's like especially true in 2024 to have a course that sells is to make sure that you offer like something unique, like something kind of like more personal and unique in your offer. And the reason I'm saying that is because with AI, like, you know, the prevalence of AI now, it's like kind of like this double-edged sword. Like on one hand, AI is awesome because it makes things like easier for people, easier and faster to create courses, right? Like, you know, you can have it write course content for you. You can have it help you with your marketing. But then the flip side of that is that because it makes it easier for course creators to enter the market, like things are just becoming more saturated. Now it's like easier for almost anyone to like create course content, you know? So now you have to think about, okay, why should somebody buy mine? Why should somebody buy my course? You know, and I think that comes from like positioning the course really, really clearly in terms of like, this is going to help you get a result. Like, it's not just going to help you, like, give you a bunch, like, flood you with information. Like, this is going to give you, like, a very tangible, specific result. And I think, like, being very clear on that, like, in your positioning for your course is so important to, like, stand out in the industry, like, as more and more people, like, come online and create courses.
Definitely. So and we've noticed this too in the theme that we had when we were talking in the Back to Business bundle about people really sort of craving that community aspect and that coaching. And what I love is because I heard all the introverts audibly gasp and they're like, the whole reason I wanted to do courses was so I would never have to interact with people because coaching is just too much. And so I love how you said that it wasn't necessarily mandatory, but that it's something that you can add on either as an upsell or a second level. And also, just for everyone, for that, you don't always necessarily have to offer that. Like, it can be a couple of times a year. And so, people that have already purchased the program, you can be like, hey, we're doing this live round for 6 weeks. Again, just like Christina before, giving time limits, I think can really help, especially as neurodivergence. They're like, oh, is it neurodivergence forever? And like, oh my goodness, I can't even contain my own self. Never mind all these other people. Like, for 6 weeks, we're going to go through this. If you guys want access to the live version, here's the difference. This is what everyone else is going to do. If you guys want to help us, definitely do that. And I love how you were like, it just doesn't have to be on Facebook, because I think that's the go-to of like, oh, I've got to do Facebooks. No, again, you can have like a monthly Zoom call. You can have a, you know, private podcast where you answer questions sort of asynchronously if just you can't deal with the pressure of people being able to have access to you. But I love how you said that it's something to look at. And what would you say when you are helping your clients find what makes that offer unique and dealing with that positions. Like, can you give us an example of, say, a course, and you can pick any industry that you'd like, that is just sort of like a meh preposition versus something that is like, yeah, people are going to be more likely to buy that. Can you give an example of a good and a bad, maybe, I guess it'd be like course tagline or mission statement of a course?
I actually a lot of times when I teach, I like use meditation as an example since like that was my field. So,
Love
you
it.
know, if you just say like I'm gonna offer a course on introduction to mindfulness, right? Like there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing bad about it, but it's bland, it's vague, you know, it's very broad. Whereas if you teach like you can like teach a segment of the population. So an example I like to use is like meditation for college students who want to like be able to focus and do better on their exams, you know, and also who have like very little time. You know, that is like now you're calling out like who the course is for and like specifically what they're going to get out of it. And that looks very different from meditation for like busy parents, you know, who want to like control their temper better with their kids and who don't have a lot of time. You know, those two courses could both be about mindfulness, but they are like, I think, much more appealing than a broad introduction to mindfulness because they are like for a specific segment of the population and they like really speak to like what somebody's going to get out of it. And not just like, oh, I'm gonna learn how to meditate, you know, because that people, I feel like if you're just saying, oh, learn how to do this, like people are gonna be like, yeah, when I have time one day, you know, but they'll put it off. But if you say like, you're going to learn how to do like this very specific thing that's going to help you get the specific result in this specific time frame. Like, that's another story, and that's a lot more appealing.
And I think that that's really great, because I think that a lot of people are like, oh, well, like there are like 80 other million courses on how to create courses out there. What's going to make mine different? So I like how you said one of those things that you can do is really either focus on the audience, focus on the outcome, or you can focus even on, you know, a personality trait, right, that somebody might have, right? In case we're like, oh, I don't want to alienate, you know, my audience. It's like, oh, maybe it's, you know, the overthinker's guide, or maybe it's the this, right? So you can always sort of think about your audience a lot more. And I like what you talked about getting a certain result. So one of the questions that came up in our panel discussions that we had for the people that brought the premium tier of the bundle was they had asked if the signature course model. So in their question, I believe they're alluding to like that like $2,000 like course model, like things like the Amy Porterfields, the Marie Forleos of the world, that sort of like thing. Was that coming to an end? So the two questions that I have for you based on that would be, one, are you seeing courses that are more streamlined and say like, I'm going to get you this result doing better versus an A to Z type of everything you need to know about this one topic doing better? And two, which might be the easier question to answer first, is price ranges of courses. Do you feel that like top end are still selling well, or is it taking a little bit longer, the buying cycle? Are people looking for more of a low end? What have you seen as sort of this signature offer like thing? Is it still a phenomenon, or is it just looking a little different?
It's definitely looking a little different. Like, I think it's not that the like standard $2,000 basic course is not selling well. It's not that. It's just, I think people are realizing like there's not this like rigid formula for a course. Like, it used to be a course was like 8 to 12 modules, and it was all these like on-demand videos, and you get lifetime access, and it's $2,000, and there's a Facebook group to go along with it. Like, you had this like checklist of like, this is what a course looks like. And like, I feel like that doesn't apply anymore. You know, now you have mini courses, you know, where somebody can get it done in a weekend, and it's like a lower price point. Like, it maybe focuses on like a quick win as opposed to like doing this big thing, right? And then you have like these premium course plus coaching experience, which could kind of like almost be a hybrid between like a course and a group coaching program, where it's more than $2,000 and maybe it's 6 months long, you know, like people are going through it for 6 months. So I think like the spectrum of like courses in terms of both the time frame and like what's included and the price point is getting wider. You still do have like the hands-off DIY courses, but you also have, like you mentioned, like the ones with the live rounds. So I think that what it comes down to is like every business owner, like you should know your audience and what would serve them best, right? So like, if you know that your audience really like, maybe they have lower budgets, maybe they're really strapped for time, maybe they just like doing like one little thing at a time. Like, you know, maybe you offer them the quick win mini course. But if you have like people who are like, you know, they have like these bigger, more ambitious goals that they want to go through, like they might benefit from like the larger signature course that also includes like coaching, you know? So you have to figure out like, I think it's not a matter of like picking a price point. It's picking like your offer. Like, what does your audience need? And like, what do you need to deliver to get them that result? And then you pick the price point. You back into the price point after that.
Oh, I love that about backing into the price point. So what have you seen lately as far as trend wise and just like topic and niches? Like, what do you see as sort of like on the upswing, or just like, oh, this seems to be like a really hot thing right now that like people are interested in?
Well, I feel like it's always like health and wellness is always going to be like a hot industry, you know, because people want to invest in their well-being, you know? But like I would say like the topics within health and wellness may be changing a little bit, you know, like a few years ago, it was all about like clean eating and weight loss and, you know, kind of like those more traditional like traditional topics, but now we're seeing courses on like tapping and on like, you know, like energy work, Reiki, meditation, I think is still like is growing. You know, so like within health and wellness, we're seeing like a broader spectrum of things. But if you can help people to improve not only their physical health, but like their mental and emotional health, that is definitely like a trending thing. I think that, you know, of course, more and more people are trying to like get into like the online business space. So if you have a course related to like freelancing or, you know, like how to get started with an online business, like that's going to do well. There's like some, I don't know the actual statistic, but there's some crazy like trend about how like at some point, like freelancers and solopreneurs are going to outnumber like people who have traditional like 9 to 5 corporate jobs, you know? So I think that if you can create a course that has like something to do with helping people make that transition, that's going to be like a really hot topic. And also, I think, you know, people are kind of like more and more valuing, like hobbies and personal development. I think that should not be like overlooked, you know, as like a course topic option, you know. So if you can help people to like learn a new language, or I actually know a course creator who teaches adults how to learn cello. So that's like so niche, right? But he realized like there was this gap in the market where like if you want to learn a new instrument, a lot of the options out there are for children, right? And he realized, well, there's adults who want to like start from scratch and learn a new instrument. So he created this course and it was like insanely successful. Like I think he was like aiming for like 10 people to enroll and he got like 80 people to enroll, and like, you know, it's like selling out. So I think like, you know, you don't have to be in like, you don't have to be in business. You don't have to be in health and wellness. If you have like a topic that, you know, is just even like more of like a fun thing that can work too.
I love that. I'm like, cello, eh? I'm like, that sounds so
Your
fun,
hobby.
right? As somebody who literally has her musical instruments hanging up behind her, I'm always trying to collect a new one to learn how to play. I think that's like every musician. We're just like, oh, I can do that, especially if it's like a string instrument. But I feel like anybody's like, oh, like I'll be honest, if it was like a woodwind or a brass, I do not think I would do very well. But I'm like, if it has a strings on it, I'm like, I think that
Oh
I can get it to work.
yeah.
As
Well,
most
it's easy
musicians were like,
information.
What, hunt, mandolin? Yes. Banjo? Sure. Like, that's just the way that we seem to be. So, the other half of this conversation, I think that actually the reason why the cello guy not only piqued my interest, because I'm like, oh, that's a really great topic, is that you had mentioned that his enrollment goal was a couple of people, and then he ended up like selling out. So, I think that one of the other sort of topics that we got from the live panel discussions from the bundle was it people saying that like launching has changed, like what they used to do, or like that standard sort of model, just it's not necessarily hitting the way it used to. So what have you seen? What trends are you seeing in launching in particular that is either different or just more of or less of? What have you found has been more effective at getting people sales? Or is it just that people need to realize that like gone are the days of like the $1 million launch if you don't have the $2 million budget to back it up? So what are you seeing actually is working in launches, in particular for maybe like those people in their messy middle? They don't have a huge audience, but they've got more than 5 people. What's kind of working there?
I mean, I feel like the big thing for people to know is that the success of a launch kind of like the groundwork starts being laid long before you launch. Like, I think that people have this idea, like they create a course and they put it out there and promote it, and like how well they promote it or like how big their audience is what affects the success of it. And that's, I don't think, necessarily true. I think what affects the success of the course is a couple of things. Like, one, going back to our conversation before, like, is your course really clear on who it's for and like how it's going to help them? Like, what is it going to do for somebody? Like, if you're clear on that, like, that helps. So that's why I think this guy with the cello was successful, because it wasn't just learn cello. It's like learn cello as an adult from zero, where you like you don't even know like what bow to buy, you know. So like that, so being clear on your course, I think, affects the success of the launch. And also being clear on like that like infusing that throughout your marketing, you know, like making sure like with every social media post, with every email you send, with every like webinar you do, are you speaking to who it's for and what the benefits are? And then the other thing that affects the success of launching is like, have you laid the groundwork with your audience? Like long before you create the course, long before you launch, are you developing a relationship with your audience, even if it's a small audience, where you are providing value? You're telling them about your own journey, maybe like about how you overcame a certain struggle and like what worked for you to get results. You know, are you kind of like developing the authority and the like familiarity with them leading up to the course creation? Because I think if you develop that trust ahead of time, regardless of like what method you use to launch, like people are going to be more eager to buy because they already know you're an expert in this area. They can trust you. You know, they know you're going to help them get results. So I think like the format of the launch doesn't have to be the webinar, you know, the typical like big shebang webinar thing. Like I do think webinars work. I myself am giving a webinar in a couple of weeks. It can be an effective way. It doesn't have to be that. You know, you could do like a challenge. You can do something that, you know, is kind of like a little bit more like behind the scenes, like an email only launch. Like there's different ways that you can launch now, but regardless of which way you launch, I think it's like imperative that you like have developed like that know, like, and trust factor with your audience and that you're really clear on like positioning the benefits of your course.
Gotcha. So you haven't seen, and I think that a lot of people do get sort of caught up on the modality. So you and your students haven't necessarily seen a big difference in like, say, a 5-day challenge versus the, I don't know if people are still doing them, like the 3-day videos. I know some people now are doing like private podcast launches. Mm-hmm. So what have you seen sort of had success, or is people sort of blending all of those things, if that makes sense?
I think people are like choosing like what works for them. And like, because like how you show up in a launch is really important. Like if a webinar is going to make you like feel like all like, you know, sweaty and nervous and like, that's not you. And like, that's not how you communicate or like, you know, that's not how you show up online, then your webinar is probably like, people can like read that, you know, they can pick up on that energy, you know, whereas if you prefer to do like these pre-recorded videos, like you're more comfortable with that, you know, you're going to just show up differently. So I think like it's important for business owners, like kind of going back to this like theme like that we've been talking about today, where there's no like one size fits all approach. I think like it's important for people to find like the approach where like they can show up, because I think like a really important thing with a launch is showing up in some way consistently throughout the launch, so that not only are you talking about like your offer, but like you're answering questions, you're addressing objections, you're like just expressing like your enthusiasm for like this offer and this course, you know? So you have to show up in a way that like you're comfortable with and like you're not like hiding in the launch, you know? So I think it's a matter of choosing like what method like is most comfortable for you as the course creator.
I love that. And I have to say to everyone, and I know that you probably say this to your students too, sometimes you just have to try them out. So like, it might be one of those things where the first time you launch this course, maybe you do a webinar because you're like, you know what, I really do love teaching, but you know, I've got kids at home. And so I can't guarantee that I can every single day for 5 days straight get to be live in front of a screen for, you know, 2 hours or something of this, right? To do one of those sort of big over the top launches types of scenario. But like, maybe next time you will, maybe next time it's like, okay, instead of doing, you know, maybe you do want to try a challenge method, but instead of doing live videos, maybe you are going to, again, do a private podcast where it's going to get released that way, or do an email only sort of a thing. I will say though, I will think personally, I think when it comes to, if you're going to be selling courses, and let me know if you feel the same way about this, I feel like people being able to hear your voice and to see you, but definitely especially to hear your voice, I think matters a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Just even a little bit. So even if you are doing a completely like email only launch, if you can do some type of like a Loom video, LLOM, or Screencast-O-Matic, where people can see your enthusiasm and hear your voice, I think that's going to matter. Because I have to say, there's one course in particular. It was, again, the heyday of signature courses. Everything was $2,000 types of scenario. And I'm like, thank goodness that I had the Google Chrome extension to speed this person up, because they were so slow and so monotone. And like, that's why I always tell people, I'm like, sure, you could buy my courses one off, but like, I'd much rather you come to my webinar, because you're going to know if your energy matches my energy. You're going to know, like, if you meet somebody that's like very straightforward, like, I am not your gal. Like, there's going to be a lot of puns. There's going to be a lot of giggling. I'm going to talk real fast because I get excited. But if not, like, and I know other people, like, go to this person. They're really nice. They're very quiet. They're not me. But like, I just need you to be able to make money. So I think that that is something that's big. And I'm sure that you'd probably agree. I think that reaching out personally, not in a creepy way, can be pretty beneficial in launches. And what I mean by that, it's like, if somebody emails you back with a question, if you can send them a video response back, I feel like that's huge. Like, totally, I have to say, the best investment in my business has been Loom, LLOM. The free version now, guys, is only like 5 minutes. I think you get like five videos. Like, it's not that great anymore. But Screencast-O-Matic, I think it's pretty cheap too, where it'll be able to do the same thing, or ScreenPal. But one of the tips that we got from another person was, when you are going to do the video, have like a little whiteboard with the person's name to say, like, hi, hi, Christina, hi, Kate. So that way they know that it's not this pre-recorded thing that you're sending to everyone, because they see their name. And I found that that works so well. So do you find that like one-on-one outreach in like a non-creepy way is doing really well too, for like launches and increasing sales?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I mean, I know on the receiving end, like, I've had people reach out to me and ask me like, hey, I saw that you like, you know, I saw you checked out the sales page, like, can I answer questions for you or whatever? And I like, I don't think that's creepy. I'm not offended or whatever that they reached out to me. I was like, oh, how nice. Like, they, you know, they're reaching out to see if I have questions. Like, I think it could be a positive thing for people. It depends on like how you word it and your approach. But if you're just like, hey, like, you know, just wanted to see, like, you know, can I clarify anything for you? Or like, you know, how can I support you or decide if this is a good fit? You know, I think it's all about selling is, I think a big part of selling is like helping people evaluate if something is a good fit for them. It may not be. And, you know, you might help them make the decision that it's not a good fit, and that's okay. You know, so if you approach your like direct messages like that, you know, hey, I want to like help you decide if this is right for you and your business. Like, I think that's not creepy at all, and it can be extremely effective. And I also just completely agree with what you said about like, however you launch, like, make sure you're giving people a taste of like what your style is and how you talk about things. Because I know a lot of people have a concern with like markets being saturated with courses, but I think you have to keep in mind that the reason people enroll in a course is, yes, it's to learn about the topic, but it's also like to specifically work with you as the course creator. Like, that makes a big difference. So like an example is like, I was enrolling in a course. I wanted to enroll in a course on a specific topic, and I had a couple of options, but, and like, they were more or less equivalent in terms of like what I would learn and the investment and that kind of thing. But like, the one I went with was this woman who was like a mom of two young children like me. And like, I had been following her for a while, and her big positioning was like, you know, I understand like what the juggling act is like, and I'm going to help you do this, like, get it done while your kids are in school. And like, all that stuff she was saying and like really resonated with me. So I bought her course because I liked the topic, but I also bought her course specifically to work with her, you know? So if you do what you were talking about, where like you show up in your launch in some way, like where people can like see you and hear you talk and kind of like get a sense of like who you are and like what your vibe and your energy are like, whatever, I think that really helps them make a decision. Like, do they want to work with you through your course?
Oh, I love that so much. And I think, like you said, it really does matter. Like you said, when they have all of these options, right? what it comes down to. So being able to share a little bit of yourself and your own backstory, because I know some people like, oh, there's that fine line where it's like, I think we've all had that experience of a webinar where a person literally talked about themselves for like 45 minutes. And then it was like one tip and you're just like, I never want to be that person. But I do think that people can resonate with your story. And again, the modality of like, I get this because it's true. Like, especially for those people that are like, oh, everyone has the same 24 hours in a day. It's like, yes, Giga Chad, they do. But you, as a 23-year-old personal trainer who gets paid to look good and be at the gym, is not the same as a mom of two with kids in elementary school and running a business and doing this. Like, it's very different. Very different, Chad. Very different. So I love that you brought that up. One last question that I have for changes in sort of 2024 and people's buying habits, because, you know, we had talked about price points. I think you have really, really great advice of just like the launch shouldn't be like the first connection point. You should be connecting with your audience like all of the time is a good thing, but you know, you just, you level it up a little bit in the launch and you get more excited. Have you found with your clients and just in general being an expert that people are taking longer to purchase stuff? Like, has any of your clients been like, you know what, like no one really bought this launch, right? And then they do like two or three launches later and it goes really well and they're finding out from their students like, oh yeah, I've been following you for like a couple of years, but like it took a while. Or do you feel like people are still buying at the same rate that they used to? I guess my undercover question is, do you feel that recessions and inflation has affected people's buying habits of courses?
I would say, you know, if I just had to say like yes or no, I would say no. Like, but it really depends on the individual. Like, one person that I follow and admire is Mariah Kaz. And she talks about how there's two different, like, people fall into one of two groups based on their buying behavior, turtles and hares, you know? So like the hares are the quick decision makers where like, you know, all you need, they need the general idea of the course. They need to know, like, you know, the dates, the price, like, you know, the facts, and like they're in or out. They're like the quick decision makers. And then like the turtles are the ones, like, they follow you forever. They've been through like three of your launches. Like, they reread the sales page 10 times, like, and then they're ready, or like maybe even they have a conversation with you and then they're ready to buy the course. You know, I think no matter like what is going on in the outside world, like there are always like those two types of people, you know, the people who are just like, they're ready to go. Like, their problem is like urgent. They want it solved. They want help now. And they're willing to like invest, you know, right away. So I think that in terms of like, for course creators, like what you should do to accommodate both groups of people is, like, don't wait forever to put your offers out there thinking, okay, I need to nurture people for like months before I even let them know I have this offer. You know, you can kind of like make sure you're talking about your offers like regularly, you know, of course, like interspersed with like your free content, you know, but like let people know that you have these offers. So that way, if someone like does want to purchase, like they can, but then, you know, like, so you kind of like accommodate those quick action takers, but then you can also like have these periodic launches throughout the year, like for the people who like need a little bit more, like, you know, before they make a decision. So just have that like hybrid approach so that you can both get like, you know, the people who take a while and the people who are willing to purchase right away.
Oh, I love that. I love the analogy of two different types of people. The other one that I'm thinking of, and this one I got from Kendrick Shope like ages ago. Hers was a big course, a big investment course that was well worth it. It was really great. But she talked about like the colors of people. Like, some people are blue people, some people are green people, some people are red people, meaning like some people are very like logistical, some people are very tied to their emotions. And so she would always talk about like making sure that you are talking to sort of a wide variety of people. Or again, like in Mariah's case, those, again, you're going to have those immediate action takers. So make sure that they have a way to pay you as fast as possible, right? And then those people that they just need a little bit more time. I would have to say one of the key things I think with anything is getting people some type of results or shift before, I think, like, can really make things easier, right? So make sure that, spoiler alert, right? Make sure that the free things that you're putting out there are good, right? Like, they get people like a quick win or a mindset shift, right? Again, I think that those things can be huge. And sometimes we kind of forget about this, that like sales can be made like eons before. It's just like, oh yeah, I'm mentioning this today. So yes. I have one last question. Well, two technically, but, and I know somebody is going to ask this and I realize that the year has just sort of started, but is there a bad time of year to launch something? Like, should you not be launching a course like this particular month or around these particular days? Or what's your thought on that?
I have preferred seasons for launching. So I think I'm doing my own launch in a few weeks in March, and I'm doing that for a reason. I feel like, you know, when people are coming back from a holiday break in January, they're kind of like, I don't know, some people take longer than others, right, to get back into the swing of things. And then like in January and February, they're kind of like doing their own thing, getting into the swing of things with like their job or their business or whatever, what have you. But then like March is where they're like, okay, I'm ready to do this new thing. Like I'm ready to like take on a project or, you know, learn something new. And it gives you like a good March, April, May. It gives you a good like 90 days, which is kind of like a good like average time frame, like for a course, to like get people from start to finish before summer hits. You know, of course I'm talking like, you know, for the Northern Hemisphere, you know, because June, July, and August tend to be like a quieter season with people going on vacation or maybe scaling back on certain things. So what I recommend people do is like do a big launch if you can around March. In the summer, I like to work on things like list building, or like if there are these other like more behind the scenes projects you want to do, like for example, like setting up an affiliate program for your course, or like maybe like, you know, updating like the modules or something like that. Like you can still be working on your course business like without launching, and also gear up for a September, October launch. Like that's like, you know, another new year for a lot of people. You know, they come back from summer breaks like refreshed and like now thinking, oh shoot, like, you know, we're almost at quarter four, you know, so if I'm going to do something this year, like I need to get going on it, you know? So I think September and October are also like a good prime launching season for course creators.
I love that. So here is my last question before we go ahead and tell us all the fun stuff that you have going on. Definitely let us know about the launch that you have. So that way we can put the links to that down below here, because I know everyone's going to be like, oh, I need more Christina in my life. What's going on? I need to know it. What is one action that you would like people to take today, whether it comes to relaunching or revamping their course or creating their own one, to make sure that it really works for today and not based off of information from like 5 years ago?
I would say like a great thing to do is send a poll out, like poll your audience, and find out like what they're struggling with right now. Like ask them what their goals are for like 2024. And then can you build a course around like what they're struggling with right now and what they like, what goals they hope to achieve like in the shorter term. And it's so easy to do, you know, like if you're a social media user, like putting a poll out there, or like if you're into email marketing, like you can just create a quick survey, link it to your emails, maybe give people like a little incentive, like a prize drawing or something, like to encourage people to complete the survey. So that way you are making sure that you're creating a course based on like what your audience wants and needs, and not just like what you in your head like think would be a good idea.
I love that so much. And again, for those of us, like we're in the process, March, we're revamping one of our old courses. And that's actually something that we're going to be sending out, actually, is a little like survey. And we're going to invite people if they wanted to hop on a 30-minute call, so that we can make sure that the revamping that we're doing it the way that our students would like to have. And it also really helps with just messaging and something that you might not have thought of, and you're going to notice more trends. So I absolutely love that. I think sometimes we feel like, oh, we have to be like the Grand Puma expert of everything. Ask your audience questions. Like it doesn't all have to come from your own brain. So I would love it if you could tell us how we could stay connected to you. Like I said, I know you have a launch coming up, but you also have a free class that people can get into. I'm pretty sure all of the time, the three simple roadmaps, or is that one just the live one that's going on?
Well, it's the live one, but like immediately after I will, I'm going to like change it so somebody can like watch it on demand. So that's where I would recommend people go, christinarava.com/roadmap. And then, you know, once you're on my site, you can see like I have a bunch of other offers. I sell like templates and, you know, I have Kajabi deals sometime if you want to be like a Kajabi course creator. So that's where I would recommend people go.
I love it. So what's something that they're going to be able to walk away with after it's the simple three-step roadmap for scaling your coaching business with online courses?
So like going back to like how we were talking about like how I was a meditation instructor. I want to help people reduce stress and overwhelm. I think like one of the best ways to reduce stress and overwhelm is to take what could be a big, daunting, overwhelming project and break it down into like smaller, manageable pieces. So that's why I'm calling this a three-step roadmap. So that way, you know, okay, like I have this big, scary goal of like launching a course, but it doesn't have to be big and scary. If I know, okay, first of all, I just have to do like three main things, right? There's three main like buckets of things I need to do. And then like within each of those steps, like there are these like, you know, little micro actions. But if you kind of like understand that, like what the big picture is, but then like how it breaks down into like phases and then like steps within each phase, I think that helps people like get over that overwhelm of like, oh my God, I don't even know what to do to get started. So that's the goal of this training that I'm doing, is to kind of like show people, okay, like these are the steps, like you just have to focus on like one thing at a time and you'll be able to get there.
I absolutely love that. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you again for being one of the amazing VIP contributors that we had to the Back to Business Bundle. Like I said, everyone, there's going to be links in the show notes so that way you can get a hold. Hopefully you can join us for the live class that is going to be going on in March. But if you're listening to this after this, don't worry. Like I said, Christina's not going to leave you hanging at all. So that way you have some good stuff. And so we can get your course out there. That is the biggest thing. We can get it out there and have it sell in 2024. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.